Brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. My speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Now why? That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eyes have not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. And the context of the things that eyes have not seen, ear heard, and hadn't entered into the heart of man is the things that He's talking about, and it has to do with the mystery. Okay? It's not the streets of gold and the mansion on the hillside up there and eating watermelons as big as Volkswagens and kicking your shoes off and wading in the river of life. That's not what He's talking about. That's religion. He's talking about the wisdom of God in a mystery. And this mystery has not entered into the hearts of man. Eyes have not seen it. And had the princes of this world knew it, they wouldn't have crucified the Lord of glory. Verse 9 again, but as it is written, eyes have not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. But God hath revealed them the things that hadn't entered into the heart of man, but God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. Now, I want you to, verse 10 is very important, but God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. What did God reveal unto Paul? He said unto us, well, let's turn. Hang on to Corinthians. We're going to be coming back there. Just fold the page down. And look over with me in Ephesians chapter 3. In Ephesians chapter 3, we can find out what was revealed to Paul, what that revelation was. We can find out what God revealed to him that man hadn't seen. It hadn't entered into man's mind, into his heart. Ephesians chapter 3, notice in verse 1. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given me to you. Something was given to Paul. Well, what was given to him? Dispensation. Now, that word dispensation, the Greek, it has to do with a stewardship. It's the same word as a certain, in other words, a stewardship is a set of instructions that's to be followed during a certain period of time. And so we find, and a steward is to govern or to run a household by that set of instructions. In other words, if I'm the steward of a household, the owner of the house has given me specific instructions to follow in running that household? If I'm to be a good steward, then what must I do? I'm to follow those instructions. And a dispensation is the stewardship. It's the administration for that household. In other words, every 4 or 8 years in this country, we change administrations. They have, somebody's got a different set of rules and regulations, and they're governing the country by a set of principles, and they change. But they're stewards. Are y'all with it? You are a steward. There are a certain set of instructions that you follow. And that's the dispensation. In other words, Paul said, if you've heard of the stewardship, the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you, those instructions has to do with the grace of God. Now watch it. How that by revelation, He, God, made known unto me the mystery. Skip the parentheses now. In verse 5, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto His holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. What's He saying back in chapter 2, 1 Corinthians? But God, verse 10, hath revealed them unto us, Paul, and those associated with Paul, unto us by the Spirit. The holy apostles and prophets in verse 5 is Paul and those that are associated with Paul. Peter and the 12 ain't even in the passage. Now, this thing was given back in 1 Corinthians. Well, before we go there, so I know a dispensation, I know a stewardship, I know a set of instructions was given to Paul. But look in Galatians chapter, before we go to 1 Corinthians, look in Galatians chapter 1. In Galatians chapter 1. And I don't want to get ahead of myself, but notice in verse 11, but I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached to me is not after man, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. What was the revelation? The gospel. Then the gospel of Christ is associated with that mystery and with that set of rules. Look back in Ephesians. I should have told you to hang on there. I'm sorry. But in Ephesians chapter 3 again. And we'll get it all tied together. And if I don't, it's not your fault. It's my fault. But in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 6. Verse 6 is the mystery. You ought to write that beside that verse. You all know what the mystery is? That the Gentiles. And that's not just any certain Gentiles. These are a different class of Gentiles. These Gentiles that he's talking about is idol worshiping, Jew hating. They eat pork and everything. They didn't keep the law. They didn't worship the God of Israel. They were outside the covenants of promise. And they wasn't allied with Israel. They were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. Strangers from the covenants of promise. Having no hope and without God in the world. These Gentiles are like you and me. They didn't bless the seed of Abraham to get into the covenants of promise. And neither did you. You didn't have to do nothing to Israel to get God to give you favor. I wouldn't know what to give them anyway, would you? I've never paid nothing to Israel. I never gave them special favor. I mean, I might have paid them some interest, or somewhere in my lifetime, some Jew, but I never blessed the seed of Abraham to get God's favor. We live in the dispensation of grace where all men, God would have all men, Jew and Gentile, to be saved, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. Same Lord over all is rich unto all who call upon Him. God today does not recognize a difference between the nation Israel and the other nations. God's dealing with the whole world in for salvation through grace and through the apostleship of the Lord Jesus Christ and Paul. God gave, the Lord Jesus Christ gave Paul the setting instructions. He revealed unto him the gospel. And that's the only way you can get to God today. Now look in verse 6. That the Gentiles, you, idol worshipers, no count, don't deserve the grace of God, deserve to go to hell, deserve the wrath of God, but God's Son drunk that wrath. He took your place. He died for your sins. Thank God for His grace. Now look what he said. Verse 6, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of His promise in Christ by what? What gospel you reckon that is? It would have to be the gospel that He revealed to Paul, wouldn't it? I'm talking about revelations. Then that gospel is, it's by the gospel. That gospel is the call of God for the body of Christ. If you want to be saved and in the body, you got to come by that gospel. It's like Kevin was saying, God sends a preacher by. Well, that preacher's got a message. Well, that message is not repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Acts 2:38, like it's on a Baptist church down there close to where Robbie is, talking about God's GPS, the great plan of salvation. And then under it's got Acts 2:38. Well, that ain't God's GPS. That don't give you directions to the Lord. What is the... If you want to know what the directions to the Lord is, it's in 1 Corinthians 15:3 and 4. Christ died for your sins. Don't you understand? Your sins is not your problem. It's your unbelief. You end up going to hell, you're going to go to hell and knowing that your sins was paid for. So, well, why ain't I saved? You won't receive it. Paul said we received the atonement. In the Old Testament, atonement was made. It was brought year after year after year. But today, we receive it. It's already been provided for you by God the Father. He provided you a sacrifice, and that sacrifice was His Son, and His Son took your wrath, took your sin, took your place, died your death, and God raised Him the third day, thank God. And if you won't have eternal life, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Receive the atonement. Some of you won't do that. Well, it's got to be more to it than that. Well, how much more to it than you need? What more to it? Well, I believe you got to live it. Live it? By whose standards? I mean, come on, folks. There are people out there who think it's sin to drink coffee. You reckon you're going to go to hell if you drink coffee? If it does, me and June ain't got no hope. We keep pot going by all the time in our house. There's people out there who think it's wrong to wear long short sleeve shirts or anything like that. They've got all kinds. Whose standards you going to go by? Well, the Bible says sin is a transgression of the law. Well, Jesus Christ kept the law, didn't He? What, did He not become a perfect sacrifice for you?
then the law put him to death in your behalf. Don't you understand? When he was on that cross, you were on that cross. When he died, you died. When he was buried, you was buried. And when God raised him the third day, he raised you up the third day to walk in newness of life. Say, well, I don't believe that. Well, why don't you? That's why you're not saved. You see, you hadn't received that. Now, look at this thing. Those the call. And I got off there and I didn't mean to, but I mean, folks, religion's got the thing so messed up. But I just go back to 1 Corinthians. I want to talk to you just for a few moments. You say, well, you done been talking a few moments. Well, a few more moments. I want to talk to you about this mystery. Look in chapter 4, 1 Corinthians, verse 1. Let a man so count of us as of the ministers of Christ and of stewards of the mysteries of God. There are more than one. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Faithful to what? To his stewardship. Stewardship, set of instructions to rule the house by, to follow. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. What is them instructions? In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, notice what he said. This economy, this administration that we're living in is called the dispensation of grace. In the dispensation of grace, there are certain instructions that God has given you. And there is a call going out in this time period. Notice in verse 37, if a man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. So there are specific commandments out there. And for the dispensation of grace, I want you to notice the mystery. I believe there is a God today is dealing in a mystery form. And this mystery has to do with grace. And it's concerning a body of believers. And that body is made up of Jew and Gentile, all men alike, and that are saved by grace through faith plus nothing. Paul puts it like that in Ephesians. He said, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. This mystery was not made known unto the sons of men in time past, but it was revealed unto the Apostle Paul. Look over with me again in Ephesians chapter 1. And notice in Ephesians chapter 1, this mystery has to do with the body. In Ephesians chapter 1, notice in verse 22, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body. Then this church is his body. This body has the identity of Christ. Look in Ephesians chapter 5. This church is not the bride of Christ. And I don't care what they say about it's not the bride of Christ. The Lord didn't marry himself. Ephesians chapter 5, he uses the analogy of a man and his wife to show the relationship between the church and the Lord. Verse 25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church, gave himself for it. How did he love it? He died for it. Why did Adam die? Adam wasn't one that was deceived. Eve was deceived. That's what Paul said in Timothy. Adam gave himself. Adam loved Eve so much, he died. He was willing to die for her. Don't you understand that? Had he rejected her or that fruit, she would have died. He would have went on. Never to have death. But he wanted to be with her. He gave himself for her. Don't you see the parallel there? Jesus Christ wanted you to be with him, so he died for you. He gave himself up. He was rich and became poor, that through his poverty you might become rich. Jesus Christ wanted you to be with him. And Paul says, that's how, verse 26, that it might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot, wrinkle, or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourished it and cherished it, even as the Lord the church. The Lord loves the church. He nourishes the church. He cherishes the church. Just like you fellas do your own body. That's what he's saying. Don't tell me you don't. You stand in front of the mirror just like your wife does. Amen? Come down to verse. For we, verse 30, for we are members of his body, of his flesh, of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. That one flesh is not one. I mean, they're still obvious. They're still two bodies. Amen. That's one flesh in name identity. Now, I've said this before, you ladies, God bless you. But the Lord never gave you a name. Say, well, I got a name. No, you don't. Say, well, my name is, I have to use June. My name's June. Does that tell her identity? June? June who? My name is Sue. There ain't no Sue's in here on that. Sue? It would if it was only one Sue in the world, but reckon there's more than one Sue? Reckon there's one more than one June? Y'all get the picture? You say, well, my name is June Cook. That still don't show her identity. Today, it did before I come along. Oh yeah, you're Bill Cook's daughter. But when I came along, she took my identity. Oh yeah, you're the preacher's wife. I'm June Sod. Oh, okay. You're up there with that cult. You married that hyper-dispensationalist. You see what happens when Paul's talking about, do you know something? Do you know her father's name? And then she was married and she took my name. We bore Adam's name and we were in Adam. When we trusted Christ, we became his identity. We take on his name. Don't you see it? You lose your identity when you trust Christ. And that's the analogy that he's making. Look down in verse 32. Join unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. And Paul never once spoke of the church as the bride. He wrote as members being joined unto the Lord. Look back with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Now, I'll give you a verse that you can look at. But you notice back there he said that chapter 5. Well, I don't really have time to go. Let me look in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Notice verse 17. But he that is joined unto the Lord is what? One spirit. And we take on his identity. And the Bible talks about look in Genesis chapter 5. If you don't want to turn there, it's fine. Genesis chapter 5, verse 1. Genesis 5:1. This is the book of generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. Male and female created he them. And blessed them. And called their name what? It was Eve Adam. I mean, he called their name Adam. There means more than one. Them. Do y'all see it? And the woman has the man's name. Say, well, I got my... You either got your daddy's name for identity or your husband's name for identity. And your first name, it doesn't show your identity. Adam said, Eve, mother of all living. Eve. God says, Eve, Adam. Identity. The body of Christ today, identity is the Lord Jesus Christ. And you're in that body, God sees you as his son. Not as you was in Adam. Your identity changed. That's a mystery. Yeah, I bet you didn't know that. It's a mystery. A mystery of the Christ. Let's look on with me and notice this mystery having to do with the purpose. In Ephesians chapter 1 verse 9. Notice the purpose of the mystery. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 9. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. Then it's the mystery of his will. It's of his good pleasure. He purposed in himself. He purposed to save and put together a body of believers. And they would become and have his identity. And they would be the sons of Almighty God. And Christ is the head of that body. Y'all don't get to think, folks, you know the majority of people never get a grip on that. You are a son of God. Now you don't look like it today because you don't have your body yet. But someday you're going to be conformed to the image of his son. Someday you that are saved, you're going to reign with Christ as the head, and you're the sons of Almighty God, and you're going to bear his image and bear his name, and you're going to be known throughout all of God's creation as God's son. A trophy of his grace. Now that blows my mind. That's a mystery. You see, there wasn't no mystery about And that's why it's almost like when the devil back in time past back there led a rebellion against God, and God just seemed like He just froze the thing up, locked everything down between Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 1:2. And then that rebellion was so bad, God just froze and stopped everything. And He purposed to fill them vacancies. He could have created more angels to take their place. But it's like He purposed, I'm going to form and create man. Human beings. And they don't deserve it. They're sorry. They're going to fail me. But I'm going to save them by my grace and fill them positions with people that are saved by my grace and make them as my son. My. That's what Paul meant when he said, if we suffer with Him, we're going to reign with Him. And what you believe about this book rightly divided is the position of authority you will have in reigning with Him out there. And there's a lot of people that's not going to have no authority, hardly. They're just going to be there like foot soldiers. Paul likens the church as an army, soldiers. In soldiers you have officers, you have generals, you have colonels, you have captains, you have sergeants, and you have down to the foot soldiers. You have mess hall workers. You have all types of service. Well, I want to be somewhere above mess hall level. And latrine duty and all of them things. All folks, that's the part of the mystery that remains a mystery to the majority of people today. God's not advancing the kingdom. My time's about gone, but look, turn with me to Isaiah and look in the book of Isaiah. In the book of Isaiah, and notice what Isaiah says about this kingdom. Look in Isaiah. Notice in look in chapter 60. Isaiah chapter 60. And this kingdom over here is going to be over here someday. And this body of believers, when it gets full, when the fullness of the Gentiles become in, that's the salvation of the Gentiles, when that body is complete. And if you're lost and you've never been saved, you might be the last one to go into that body. You might be what's keeping the body here. But when that soul, when that last and go gets into that body, then we're going to be called out of this world. And I'm just going to put it over here. Then there's a time over here that's called the time of the Antichrist. He is time. And it's going to consist of 3.5 years and 3.5 years. And then the second coming of Christ is coming down over there after that 7-year period. And he's going to defeat the Antichrist. He's going to walk right up to him. He's coming out of south of the Dead Sea, the Lord is. He's going to take the kings, coming up through there, Bozrah and all up there. Who is that that cometh from Bozrah with dyed garments? He's going to be blood soaked. We're talking about kill, kill, kill. And he's going to come, Zechariah likes him, with a red horse and behind him speckled horses. And folks, he's going to take and he's going to defeat the armies of the Antichrist. And he's going to walk right up through the Mount of Olives. And when he stands there on the Mount of Olives, that thing's going to split right down the middle. And he's going to walk right up to the Antichrist and he's going to kill him right there and destroy him. The Lord. But today, God is not having war with this world. Today, God's speaking in grace and peace. Today, God's offering salvation to everyone. Will you believe? Isaiah 59 or 60 verse 1, arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. You know good and well that's not Israel today. You know verse 3, and the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and the kings to the brightness of thy rising. That's not happening today. We don't get to God through the nation Israel. Look in verse 12. For the nation and kingdom that will not serve thee shall perish. Yea, those nations shall utterly waste. That ain't happening today. Turn down, look over with me in verse 16. Thou shalt also suck the milk of the Gentiles, and thou shalt suck the breast of kings. Thou shalt know that I, the Lord, am thy Savior, thy Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. They don't even know that Jesus Christ is their Savior. They don't believe in Him today. And the nations of this world are not bowing down to Israel today. That's in the kingdom. God is not advancing the kingdom today. What's He doing? His purpose is forming a body of believers, saving them by grace through faith. And God is offering this world a chance to be saved. I believe in the gospel. Look over with me and let's look in verse chapter 2. 61. In chapter 61. And they shall build old waste, verse 4. And they shall rise of former desolations. They shall repair the waste cities. Verse 5. Strangers shall stand and feed your flocks. And the sons of aliens shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. But ye shall be named priests of the Lord. Well, you know they ain't the priests of the Lord today. And the nations of Gentiles is not serving Israel. They're not plowing for them. They're not tending to their crops. They're not bowing down to them. They're not trying to get to God through the nation Israel. But they will. That's a kingdom. Why, chapter 62, verse 2. And the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness, and all kings thy glory. And thou shalt be called by a new name. You can find that in Revelation over there. He's going to give them a new name. which the mouth of the Lord shall name. Verse 5, for as a young man marrieth a virgin, so thy son shall marry thee. As a bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so thy God shall rejoice over thee. just on and on the thing goes. One other passage, look in chapter 65, verse 25. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together. Reckon they can now? Well, they can, but I tell you who'd be the eater and who'd be the meal. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together. The lion shall eat straw like the bullock. You ever seen a lion eat straw? He will. Do you know that's part of the grace that's going to come down from the Lord in that day, in that kingdom, when the curse is removed? And God's going to pour His grace out on man in the world, and it's going to be on the animals, and they're not going to be carnivals anymore. That's the kingdom. What's He doing today? His purpose and His mystery today is the church and the oneness. It's the mystery of the Christ in the church. It's the mystery. The body of Christ is formed. It's for all men. Age don't matter. Race, creed, color don't matter. You can be saved today. The call's gone out. What is that call? Christ went to that cross and died for your sins. Will you accept Him? Will you receive Him? And why would you reject Him now? Why wouldn't you receive Him now? Why would you not? You know, I have people sometimes come to me and say, I don't know if I'm saved or not. And I begin to talk to them. I want to tell you something. If you got doubts about it, just do it now. If you're miserable about it, that's the Lord. Just do it now. Just on this Sunday morning, what is it? March the 21st, spring day. Write it down. This is the day that I put my trust in what He did for me on the cross. I'm believing You died for me, and I receive that as my salvation. It's a done deal. Amen. Mark it down. When did you trust Christ? I trusted Christ on March the 21st, 2010, sitting in Charity Bible Church. I'd had doubts about it, but I see that He died for me, and I believe that, and I'm resting in that. And folks, hey, I do it all the time. If I could get saved more than one time, I would. I mean, I think about what the Lord did for me. Lord, I do receive You. I do trust in You. I do it all the time. You say, well, are you trying to get saved? No, I just like doing it. I tell Him, God, you know something, Lord? You said if I'd call on You, if You said if I'd come to You, You wouldn't cast me out. If what You did on the cross ain't enough, I don't have nothing to give You. So, and I do. Man, this don't try to hang on the one tie day in your life. I mean, trust Him every day. I'm trusting Him now. He's my Savior. Who is your Savior? Jesus Christ. I'm in the body of Christ. Are you? The mystery. God ain't interested in our buildings and our building programs and our paid parking lots. How big a steeple we can put on the building with our little cross on it. God don't care about that. God's interested in the building He's building. And He's the one. He laid out the master plan and gave it to the master builder, all the blueprints and the instructions, and said, Paul, this is what I commit unto you. And he said, a dispensation was committed unto me, the dispensation of the gospel and the dispensation of the grace of God. And I have the blueprints for it. I have the instructions for it. And I wrote them down in 13 books in Romans through Philemon. That's what you find the mystery. Now, why is everybody so ignorant? Because these dumb preachers out here, they're not preaching the mystery of Christ. They don't preach out of Paul's epistles. Can't make much money doing that. Come and get your miracle. Now, if I got up here and I said some of you suffered from a headache, and somebody's got a bellyache, backache, your right toe's hurting, and I cast that bell. Now, how many? I'd like to know. Is anybody in here? You have a backache? Mine's hurting pretty bad right now, and I can't do nothing about it. But if I named a bunch of stuff over, I guarantee you,